We seem to read and hear a lot about social distancing when standing in line for a supermarket or queuing for a prescription outside a chemist's. But what if you're an employer? How actually do you make social distancing work? In a pack house, in a field, or on a picking line? I'm John Bates, and in today's AHDB podcast, we hear about the rules of social distancing and how farmers and growers are making the practical adjustments needed to keep people safe and to reduce the risk of spreading coronavirus in the workforce, and how this runs alongside the need to keep the wheels of agriculture turning. Now, I know people avoid being near me at work, but I'm guessing that's got little to do with minimizing the risk of spreading infection. But social distancing is a serious matter, and there are some strict rules which need to be followed in the workplace. Let's firstly meet Gracie Emeny from AHDB to tell us about the guidance that's been given to by government. Gracie, just tell us a little bit about the rules, if you would.
Thanks, John. So the rules for horticultural businesses and farm businesses are just as important to follow as for everyone. We're all really used to these regulations now, but actually how we apply them in practice on horticultural businesses is definitely more of a challenge and something that we have had a lot of questions about. So we've actually worked with GEES, with industry and with DEFRA and other stakeholders to produce some guidance, which we're also now liaising with Wales and Scotland as well, because the guidance that we've been able to produce is only relevant for England at the moment. There are differences between the guidance for the different nations, although there are similarities. We are hearing from quite a few producers that the regulations in Scotland are being enforced more strictly. So we really would recommend that people check the guidance from their local office and that they're maintaining best practice at all times.
Where can levy payers go to try and find some information and some details about the guidance that AHDB have put together?
So they can find the guidance on the AHDB website under the coronavirus section. It really focuses on how to stop the spread of coronavirus on farm businesses and to, keep people as healthy as possible.
Okay. Farmers are used to managing changing situations. There's weather, there's pests, there's crop diseases. I just wonder how this challenge compares with some of the other challenges. So let's just talk to two farmers. We've got Ben Martin from Velcourt Farm. He's a farm manager in Suffolk. And we've got Chris Dakin from Valley Produce, which is in Berkshire. Ben, just to start with you, just tell us a little bit about your farm, if you would.
I manage a 1,300 hectare arable farm on behalf of a principal landowner. We concentrate on the production of packing potatoes, so fresh produce. So about 150 hectares of potatoes all in, supplemented by combinables, including spring barley, winter barley, rye, wheat. Then we let land for onions and parsnip production and outdoor pigs. So a busy farm, quite a bit going on, light land, lots of irrigation. So quite an intense sort of operation, really.
And how many workers?
So we've got at the moment around 7 full-time guys. And we will look to have around sort of another 5 or 6 casual staff over the sort of summer period, alongside 2 or 3 contractors as well. So quite a mixture there.
Okay, brilliant, Ben. Thanks very much. And just Chris, if I could just introduce you here, just tell us a little bit about your business in Berkshire.
Yeah, okay. We grow herbs, outdoor grown herbs, over about 800 acres. on three sites, Berkshire, Hampshire, Sussex. And we've got, at peak, we employ, I've just done the sum, about 70 staff. 52 of those that we accommodate. The rest are living in their own accommodation. We're currently obviously not at peak season yet. We've just started, so we've got 23 seasonal staff, 4 lorry drivers, 2 truck drivers, and 8 office staff working for us at the moment.
Okay, so Chris, that's a big enterprise with a lot of people. How has managing this human health issue, how's that changed your approach to the business?
Okay, so in the initial stages, our pack house business, we pack, so we grow in the summer, but we pack all year round. About half our winter business is food service, restaurants, hotels, pubs, etc. So that came to a grinding stop. So the pack house has been relatively easy to manage in terms of social distancing, mainly because we've had to remove 2/3 of the people. We had about 16 people working in the pack house. We've now got 6. So at the moment, that is manageable because we can spread those guys around. They're doing less work and out and around. So that's been relatively easy, but we're going to have to manage that in the coming weeks as the pack house becomes busier. The biggest problem one of the things about the you know, hand washing and, you know, personal hygiene, because we're, you know, a direct food service business or food production business, our hygiene standards are quite high anyway. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we have controls for when they enter the pack house, in the field when they're harvesting, so we have wash stations, everyone wears gloves. So that kind of level is all, we're just reinforcing that and encouraging people to do that, carry on doing that when they're in their accommodation at home, which is all part of the business anyway. Where the biggest change has been is accommodation. So by this time of the year, so we've got a couple of houses which we use all year round, and then we've got caravan accommodation on site, on a couple of sites. And at this time of year, we'd be moving people as they'd be changing their roles. Some of the people work in the fields, some work in the winter. We're having to keep people isolated in sort of working groups within houses. And as new people arrive, they come onto site, they're then put in caravans. The caravans, the units we've got, take 2 people at a time. Their bed and a shower and a toilet, self-contained, but shared kitchens. And we've actually got 2 kitchen pods. And so we're having to get them on site, isolate them for the 2-week period, which is tricky because obviously you're trying to, at the moment, I'm trying to encourage people to come and work for me for the summer because there's obviously restrictions in people movement. And we're trying to find work for them once they've arrived that is separate from all the other groups of people.
Plenty of challenges there. Yeah. Ben, in terms of how you've had to change things with your people, and presumably your enterprise involves lots of potatoes and vegetables and so on, so presumably there's machinery and tractors and that sort of thing, so sharing equipment is an issue?
Well, I mean, that was my main sort of concern initially. So that we, right from the off, first sort of week of March, the sort of company issued sort of coronavirus contingency plan that was tailored to the individual businesses, a big risk assessment, basically. Yeah, for me, machinery was the main one. Now, we're quite lucky. The full-time guys tend to have their specific tractor that they need to do their job. And it was made quite aware very early on that that is their machine and no one else is to sort of buddy up in there to ride with them, to move their machine around the yard or anything really like that. So fairly easy to manage from that point of view. Things like loaders and forklifts are a bit trickier because the type of machine that people just jump on and off as and when. So every machine has had alcohol gel, disinfectant wipes, all this really. So we can keep people safe like that if they do need to jump in and out. But my biggest headache and the biggest challenge I've found is moving people around the farm. So we're from furthest point to point is 12 miles. And during potato planting time, I do it a lot. I move machinery for other people, so it's there when they need it. You know, we've had to stop doing that completely. And we've packed up a little bit earlier in the evening so the guys can take their own tractors and trailers and stuff back to the yards. So, but look, it's all manageable. A bit like Chris, we're a fresh produce farm, so health and hygiene is pretty high anyway. Socially, we're a big group, we're a good team. We like to meet in the mornings to discuss the day, the week in front of us. So we've had to put a stop on team meetings in the mornings. You know, I've asked the guys not to sit together while they're having lunch in the mess room, that sort of thing, really. So,
Ben, are there any of the changes that you've made that when we get to the end of coronavirus, which hopefully is not too far away, would you keep any of the changes that you've implemented, or will you try and return, if I dare say, to the old ways?
No, for me personally, my driving around and the mileage has dramatically decreased because I've held no end of remote conference calls, doing a lot of my planning via WhatsApp and what have you. So, and it's all worked well. The farm, everything has almost carried on as normal regarding output and production. So a huge amount has been learned from that point of view. You know, practically for the guys, I feel like we've got a happy team, to be honest. No one has really been overly put out by things. We've put, contingency plans in place. I've made sure more than one person is trained up on any specific machine. So if someone was off, and that's something I'd like to carry on because, you know, anyone can get ill or injured and, you know, break a leg playing football at the weekend, for example. So just good habits like that, really, that we'll carry on with for sure.
Chris, just coming back to you on that point, I mean, obviously you've got to hit the peak of your season yet in terms of the numbers of workers that you've got. But are there any of the things that you've implemented so far that you think you would continue post-coronavirus?
I think a little bit like Ben, you know, apps like Zoom, where we've held meetings remotely. So I've got one of my sales managers is self-isolating at home, is working from home. So we've had to hold meetings and a couple other staff had family, you know, illnesses, so they work from home. So that kind of thing, it just makes us, it's been very easy to do. And it's kind of where we thought on a Friday, we need to get together to have an operations meeting. Well, now we can do it remotely, which saves a bit of time, a bit of running around. In terms of, obviously, the cleanliness within the business, that's ongoing, but trying to persuade the staff, you know, it's an ongoing battle trying to keep the accommodation blocks clean and tidy. So we'd like to think, you know, by pushing this now that we can get the staff to carry on that all the way through the summer, keep equipment clean, keep the vans clean, which is just ongoing. The accommodation side of things is proving a bit of a nightmare. So I hope we can stop that as soon as possible.
Chris Dakin, thank you very much for sharing your story. Ben Martin, I'm really interested to hear from you. As Gracie was telling us, this is a little bit of a moving feast, and so please keep an eye out on the guidance, which is being updated, and the other information around coronavirus on the AHDB website. That's AHDB.com.
www.ecoworld.org.uk. Thank you very much indeed to my guest today. That was an interesting discussion. Always good to hear about the practical implications of these things out on farm. Thank you to my producer, Josh Porthwick. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.